Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Verses 1 through 13, all of Isaiah chapter 55. Father, we thank you once again for the powerful and wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the fact that you let us know in your word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And thank you, Father, for the truth that as we fill our hearts and our minds and our lives more and more with your word, that more and more we're filling our lives with more and more of you. What a blessing, what a privilege it is for us to do just that. Teach us and empower us to grow in our understanding of what a wonderful gift your word is, and help us to learn more and more to be wise enough to put it to work mightily every day in our lives. Thank you for the chance to be vessels through which you can work every day as we fill our lives with your word and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us as we begin today.
Father, we bring our listening family to you today with all their needs. Father, with the coronavirus and so many other things in life happening, we are a needy people, so we come to you and we ask that you meet our needs, that you be our helper, and Almighty God to be our helper. What a wondrous thought. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for stooping down to love us. Pray that our listeners, that they would be good stewards of this listening time, this hour, that they would listen to you to speak to them. We pray that they would go away from this broadcast not thinking about Joseph or the Hour of Intercession, but thinking of you and what you have said to them, and that they would, through your Holy Spirit, have the courage to react in a way that brings you much honor and much glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I want to remind you, just a few days away is our Spring Share-a-thon. The dates are May the 19th through the 21st, and we're very much asking for your prayers for the Lord to bless it, to prosper it, and to use it mightily. And we'd ask that you'd pray that people would be saved and greatly strengthened and built up in their faith, and pray that God will anoint and prosper the Share-a-thon, again, May 19th through the 21st, spiritually and financially. Again, we very much would appreciate your prayers. Today, as we look into the Word of God, we're focusing on the topic of God is in the business of fulfilling His Word. Again, God is in the business of fulfilling His Word. And as we begin, we're looking in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Again, we're focusing today on the topic, God is in the business of fulfilling His Word. And a few moments ago, I read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55, and You know, that's a powerful chapter, but in that chapter, it reminds us of how one of the powerful and wonderful ways that God uses his word. Specifically, in Isaiah chapter 55, once again, looking at verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Again, verses 6 through 11 of Isaiah chapter 55. And, you know, as we look in God's word, it's powerful to keep this in mind that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God and the word of God is Jesus. But also keep in mind, we refer to the Bible as the word of God. Well, how is that so? Well, in essence, the word of God is the essence of Jesus Christ. So when you're reading God's word, you're taking in Jesus. And as we read and meditate on the word of God, amongst other things, Jesus is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And also the Holy Spirit is the anointing. So when you're reading God's word, you're consuming the anointing of God. You're increasing the anointing of God on your life. And remember, also keep in mind, God's word is also grace. So when you're reading the word of God, you're consuming the grace of God. And the grace of God nourishes every part of your being. The grace of God ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. So literally, when you're reading and meditating on God's word, you're spending time one-on-one with Jesus, but also Jesus is nourishing every aspect of your being. So one of the most fruitful habits in all of life is that of simply reading and meditating on the word of God. Sitting down, thus sitting at the feet of Jesus, allowing the word of God to bless you, to edify you, to nourish you, to strengthen you. And God's word, as I said, ministers to your mind, body, and spirit all at the same time. So keep in mind, as I said, one of the most productive and fruitful habits in all of life is the habit of simply reading and meditating on God's word. So as we're looking at this topic, God is in the business of fulfilling his word. Keep in mind, God's word is many things. The word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word of God. But also the word of God is, it's a word of power. It's a word of blessing. It's a word of joy. It's a word of strength. All of these things bless our lives and empower our lives. So our putting the word of God to work in our lives every day is so important. I can't overemphasize how important it is that we're committed to filling our minds and our hearts with the powerful word of God each and every day. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the many ways your word blesses us, empowers us, counsels us, guides us, strengthens us, lifts us up, pulls us out of so many of the problems and the difficulties and the challenges that we face in life. More and more, Father, with every passing day, help us to recognize the tremendous need we have of putting the weapon of your word to work in our lives every day. Help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to consume your word each and every day, feeding our spirit, our mind, and our body on your word, and drawing on the strength that comes from only your word. Thank you for the wonderful and powerful gift it is to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking today at the topic, God is in the business of fulfilling his word. We'll be right back.
See you.
Music from Mercy Me, the song Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God is in the business of fulfilling His Word. And I think of this very important truth, you know, in the book of Isaiah, the phrase, and it shall come to pass, appears at least 23 times. Now, what does that mean? It shall come to pass. In other words, God is speaking His Word, and God's word will be fulfilled. And so it's important that we recognize God's word carries power and authority and grace. It always carries power, authority, and grace. So when you read the word of God, remember when God spoke something, it was going to happen. It was going. So again, in Isaiah, again, at least 23 times, as I said, the phrase, and it shall come to pass, appears. And so in the book of Matthew, and you know, Isaiah, of course, is one of the most quoted books that are quoted in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, one of the quotes is found as well. But I'm going to take a moment now to read Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. And Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan, and Matthan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Again, Matthew, all of Matthew chapter 1. Again, today we're looking at the topic of God is in the business of fulfilling His Word. And as I stated a few moments ago, in Isaiah chapter, in the book of Isaiah, at least 23 times the phrase appears, "and it shall come to pass." In other words, God is basically laying out a prophecy before us when we see that phrase. Well, here in Matthew chapter 1, we find the fulfillment, the clear fulfillment being spoken of here in Matthew chapter 1. Looking at verse 22 again, it says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." In other words, God is fulfilling His word. And remember this, we as believers never need to worry about whether or not God is going to keep His word, whether or not God will fulfill His word. God is always going to fulfill His word. And we see actually in the world we live in today, much Bible prophecy is coming to pass before our very eyes. Much fulfillment of prophecy that was prophesied centuries ago. But remember, we serve a God that is eternal. He's omniscient. He knows everything and everyone and all the circumstances. And God, you know, one of God's names is Jehovah, which means I am that I am. God is both inside as well as outside of time. And so God sees all of time as if it's one just scene to see. And so when God lets us know something is going to come to pass, it is going to come to pass. But also we need to understand, not only does God's word carry authority and wisdom and power, God lets us know we carry wisdom and authority and power in our words as well. Not the power in the word of God, but we do have power in our words. But when we speak the word of God, it carries the power of God's word because it is the word of God. So we're wise to daily speak the word of God and to speak the promises of God as well. Because remember, as I said, God is in the business of fulfilling His word. Not only has God fulfilled His word, as in fulfilled the promises and the prophecies He told us in the Old Testament, He's fulfilling many of those prophecies as we speak in our day and time today. And God will fulfill all His prophecies that will in history that He already prophesied. They will come to pass in His timing and at the time He determines. But also when you and I put the word of God to work in our lives, when we stand on the promises of God, promises of His word, God is going to fulfill His word in our lives as well. Now, you know, we live in a world where the fact is, many times, obviously, people in the world don't give that much weight to the words they speak sometimes. But you know, that's to be expected. But on the other hand, many times believers don't realize how powerful our words really are. You know, the fact is, the Lord Jesus Christ let us know that one day we all will give an account of every word we've spoken. So apparently our words are much more important than any of us seem to really grasp. And keep in mind, we live in a world where people think of words as tools or instruments for communication, and they are tools or instruments of communication. Obviously, that's what we use words to communicate. But they're much more than that. Our words are also weapons and power tools to accomplish tasks or things in our lives. Keep in mind, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, it tells us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits." Now that's a powerful truth that's spoken in, again, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Listen to it again. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now notice it uses the phrase power of the tongue. Now how do our tongues have power? In other words, the words we speak carry power. In fact, one could actually say that this is true. You and I are the prophets of our own lives. The words we speak accomplish things every single day. As I said, not only do we use words to communicate, but words are also weapons. They're also tools to accomplish tasks in our lives. Our words are much more powerful than often we realize. I'm reminded of a true story of a young man that for whatever reason, whatever sad reason, I think it was in his 20s, he began to say that he would never live to be past 40. Now, why he would say that, that's hard. I don't understand that. But he, in his 20s, he began to say on a regular basis that he would never live to be past 40 years old. Throughout his 20s, he said it. And during the decade of his 30s, he continued to say that he would never live to be past 40. Then in his 39th year of life, a strange sickness came upon him. And before his 40th birthday, he passed away. Now, some people would look at that and think, well, what a strange thing to happen. The young man, he died before the age of 40, just like he said. Well, actually, it wasn't very strange at all. Sadly, for whatever reason, he prophesied it for 2 decades. And when the time came, he fulfilled the prophecy that he prophesied for all those years. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue, my tongue, they're powerful. Our words are very, very powerful. Let me remind you that we need to recognize this very important truth. You know, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, the Lord gives us very clear instructions, important instructions, and here he's speaking to us about using our words wisely to accomplish spiritual warfare tasks that are put before us. Joshua chapter 1, listen to the words of this passage. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now keep in mind, listen again at verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Keep in mind, 2 very clear directives God is giving us here. He's telling us to speak the word of God and to obey the word of God. Listen again to the verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now what does it mean when it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth? In other words, speak the word of God continually. Make it a habit, make it a lifestyle to speak God's word and to speak things that agree with the word of God. Why? Because you're speaking truth, and those truths are weapons and instruments of power that accomplish things. In other words, when you speak, for example, the 23rd Psalm is a wonderful psalm of the word of God. But you know, you and I are wise to speak Psalm 23 every day, not just recite it, but to remind God of the promises found there and to remind him that you're standing on those promises. That's how you put it to work powerfully in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So again, the verse says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. So when you speak the word of God and obey the word of God, it blesses your life. We're to daily speak the promises of God's word over our lives. That's one of the ways we put it to work mightily. That's how we put our faith to work. Speak the word of God and pray the word of God and obey the word of God. All 3 are powerful ways to put God's word to work in our lives. Remember, our words have power. So when we speak God's word, they carry power behind them. Remind you once again, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It's important that we recognize that, remember this, God is in the business of fulfilling his word. When you speak the word of God, remember, God's word will not return to him void. Keep speaking his word. Keep praying his word. God's word won't return to him void. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers, Only Way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God is in the business of fulfilling his word. And so we continue in this final segment as we look in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Now, this passage powerfully speaks of the fact that it's important for us to put on the full armor of God. It's talking about putting on his full armor. That's a wise thing for each of us as believers to do absolutely every single day, to put on the full armor of God. Well, it speaks of a number of different aspects or weapons that we can use. And one of the ones that is mentioned is specifically, it says, the sword of the Spirit in verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word, amongst other things, is the sword of the Spirit. Now, notice it says the word is the sword of the Spirit. Now, obviously, it's our sword as well. But the more you fill your heart and your mind with the word of God, it's like it's basically you're putting more ammunition into the hands of the Holy Spirit to use in you and through you and for you. So, yes, the word of God is our sword. But specifically here, it points out it's the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the weaponry, the ammunition of the Holy Spirit. So the more you fill your heart and your mind with God's word, the more ammunition you're putting in the hands of the Holy Spirit to work in you, through you, and for you. We're wise to give him a lot of ammunition. So how tragic it is when believers barely get into the word they read every once in a while from time to time. It's like they're giving them the Holy Spirit a few bullets for their machine gun, their spiritual machine gun. But on the other hand, when you fill your mind and your heart with the word of God every day, it's like you're giving him lots and lots of bullets to work with. And remember, the Holy Spirit knows how to tear down the kingdom of darkness in every context, in every circumstance, in every situation. And he's inside of us, but he's waiting on the ammunition we put in his hands. So the word of God and the knowledge of the word of God, those are weaponry and ammunition we place in the hands of the Holy Spirit, who's working inside of us each and every day. And remember this, the Holy Spirit not only uses the word of God mightily, but remember, when you speak the word of God, and again, we're talking specifically about God is in the business of fulfilling his word. When you speak God's word, remember this, not only does God hear you speak his word, but the angels of God are listening as well. And remember this, angels are God's secret agents. God uses angels to do many things in the kingdom of God. He uses angels to answer prayer. He uses angels to fulfill his work and his word. He uses angels to carry out the work of the kingdom. Notice what it says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 105. It says this in Psalm 103. It says in verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Now notice this, what it says about angels. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Heeding the voice of his word. And it goes on to say, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Notice what God, one of the ways God uses angels. Reading verse 20 again. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Angels are continually listening for the word of God. And remember this, when you speak the word of God and when you stand on the word of God and when you speak in line with the word of God, God uses angels to fulfill his word, to fulfill the promises of God in your life as you stand on those promises and put them to work. On the other hand, when we speak contrary to the word of God, when we speak contrary to the promises of God, when we speak words of doubt to the promises of God, not only do the angels of God not respond to those words of doubt and words that are contrary to his word, basically angels will fold their hands and fold their wings and stand aside. So you don't want the angels that God has assigned to you to be idle. You want them to be actively working on your behalf. But remember this, they're always listening for the word of God and for those that agree with the word of God and speak in line with the word of God. That's how the will of God can be fulfilled in our lives. Remember, again, our goal is we want God's word to be fulfilled in our lives and through us. Well, that happens as we speak the word of God and speak the promises of God's word and stand on those promises. Just for example, you know, God says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." When you're in a situation of need and as a believer, as you're seeking to trust God and obey God, speak his word. Speak the words of promise in his word, "But my God shall supply all your need." Don't say, "Well, it looks like I'm going to lose my house or lose my car or lose whatever." No, speak the promises of God's word. You're doing spiritual warfare because remember, the Bible says the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But remember, the word is the sword of the spirit. When you speak the word of God, it allows the spirit of God and the grace of God and the angels of God to work on your behalf. But to speak contrary to God's word is to miss your opportunity to be blessed by God and for the Spirit of God to work on your behalf. We need to speak in line with the Word of God. Remember, let the angels of God work on your behalf in that regard. So speaking the Word of God is very important. You know, in the book of Psalms, it says, amongst other things, it's speaking of the man or woman of God who's serving God. It says in verse 3, "Whatever he does shall prosper." Well, the fact is that's a very important promise for you to take and use in your life. In fact, it's wise for you to say every day of your life, "Whatever I do prospers." Now, why do you want to do that? Because you're agreeing with God. On the other hand, a believer may read that and think to themselves, "Well, that's not true for me because I flop with a whole lot of the things I do." You don't want to say that. You want to speak. Remember, you're never wrong to agree with God. And you're doing spiritual warfare when you speak the word of God, because when you speak in agreement with God's word, even if it doesn't look true, the fulfillment of God's word can begin to work in your life to bring it to pass if you agree with God and speak his word. But on the other hand, if you read a scripture like that in the book of Psalm where it says, "Whatever he does shall prosper," but if you say, "Well, that's not true for me," then that causes the angels God has assigned to you to have to be idle. They can't work on your behalf because you're speaking contrary to the word of God. They listen for the word of God. So you and I must habitually speak the word of God and stand on the word of God. That's how we put the word of God to work. We put the power of the word of God to work on our behalf. That's how God can fulfill his word in our lives. We speak his promises and stand on them. Even when it doesn't look true, remember this, don't go by what you see. Go by what the word of God says and stand on it. And remember this, sometimes, as Ephesians 6 says, having done all to stand, stand. Sometimes you have to keep standing on the word of God over a period of time. And remember this, for all of us, time tries our faith. Time tries our trust, but keep hanging on to the word of God. Keep trusting him and watch God fulfill his word. Again, God is in the business of fulfilling his word, so we have to do our part to put his word to work. We need to read the word of God and mix faith with that reading in order to believe that God will hear and fulfill his word in our lives. How important it is that we understand this is how we do spiritual warfare. We speak the word of God, and we stand on the word of God, and we put them to work. You know, Psalm 91 is as we've been talking about quite a bit over the last several weeks in the midst of the pandemic, is a powerful weapon. We're challenging you to pray it every single day. And again, if you don't have a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, email us to get it because we'd be glad to send it to you. Our encouragement is that you pray that prayer every single day because, again, it's a way to put the powerful word to work. And remember this, amongst other things, God will use his angels to answer that prayer and to fulfill his word. Remember, when you're praying the Psalm 91 prayer, you're praying the word of God. And remember this, God's word will not return to him void. We send it forth to work on our behalf, and it will not return to him void. It's a way for God to fulfill his word in your life. So pray Psalm 91 every single day and watch God fulfill that promise of divine protection. Again, if you haven't gotten a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer from us, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Be glad to send it to you. We challenge and encourage you to pray it every day over yourself and over your family, over your church family as well. And forward it on to lots of family members, fellow church members. Forward it to others because it's a powerful weapon that any believer can put to work in their life each and every day. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're fulfilling your word daily as your children speak your word and stand on your word and obey your word. Help us to recognize, Lord, that every single day we face spiritual warfare, absolutely every day, in all contexts, at home, on the job, in the community, in the world. But help us to be mindful that you let us know in your word, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, believers that are wise enough to be doing spiritual warfare every single day, reading your word, standing on your word, speaking your word, praying your word, putting your word to work mightily in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. And help us to know, Lord, that you're a God that hears and answers prayer as we pray according to your word. We thank you and praise you for the powerful gift, your word, the sword of the Spirit that we can use every single day in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of both the Psalm 91 prayer and some of the other many prayer tools that we provide, one of the prayer instruments we provide is called Kingdom Prayers. It has several prayers that come straight from Scripture or are based on Scripture that you can use as powerful prayer tools and weapons to work on your behalf and your family and your church as well. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We've been looking today at the topic, God is in the business of fulfilling his word. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. Send out a
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.